What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another edition of the Bad Podcast. Brad and Dwayne. Brad, my brother, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm just thriving, man. I'm feeling good. You know, when this drops, it'll be Monday. And so the Charlotte Marathon will be in the past. Yep. And that's sort of what we're going to talk about today. So here's the quote that we got. With growth, you don't have to forget about your past. Just don't hold on to it.
I like that, man. Let's get it.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
What up, what up, what up? What it look like, what it be like, what it do? Back in here, another episode of the Bad Podcast, Brad and Dwayne. Super excited to be here with my brother, man. I'm actually in the studio today, man. I'm here on a secretive meeting. No, I was kidding. But no, we're here with a lot of the trainers, man. We're doing some things. Brad is actually going to trade places with me. By the time you guys hear this, he's already came and gone. But I'm in Charlotte today. He'll be in Charlotte tomorrow. And like you mentioned about the marathon. So, man, listen, Brad, first of all, before we get into all of this and talk through all of this, man, I just want to let you know, brother, that I'm proud of you, man. You're going to step out there, you know, you're going to run, you know, all the things I'm not going to do, man. I'm just living vicariously through you, man. So I just wanted to tell you that before we jump into to this episode.
Before we move on, are you really living vicariously through me, or are you just saying
actually
that?
I'm actually not I have no envy or no desire to me.
Listen, you'll track me and you'll sit there for an hour and 45 minutes tracking me through the course and all that, and not for one second will you say, man, I wish I was out there.
That is very true.
Man, I think this is kind of neat because we're gonna be talking about sort of detaching or unshackling from the past. And when this drops, we're gonna have the Charlotte Marathon in our past. Mm-hmm. And so we have around 150 people that are training on the E2M Eager to Run team that will be in Charlotte. 150 people that are doing the same old song and dance as I am. You know, you say something along the lines of you're proud of me. Well, I got to shout out all of our clients and all of our community. Man, I'm proud of all you guys because, man, I went step for step with you guys. I know what you went through. I had your back. I led from the front, all those things. The day is officially behind us, but I'm gonna talk as if it's not, because I'm confusing myself. Is it, what day is it? But you know, a training for something like a marathon or half marathon or a physique show, it's such a unique experience because you put yourself through some real tough times. And you know, I often ask, and I like to hear insight from others, why do we put ourselves through that difficult moment? Why do we put ourselves through intentional hardship? And I don't like to go deep on this. I just like to say it's worth it. On the other side of all those tough times, it's worth it. When I crossed that finish line on Saturday, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, you know, the sense of accomplishment and the sense of pride that you have in yourself, man, that's worth all the hard work.
Yeah, no, I like that, man. You know, I've never had that mantra of it's worth it. For me, it was, you know, I'm capable, like I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, I like worth it though. Like that's, you know, like you mentioned, once you finish, it always worth it. And you know, you're technically, when this is live, you're finished with that marathon. But also, as of last week, according to this recording, I started back prep. So you know, that's one of those difficult things that you prepare for. And you know, you guys heard me complain about it and whine about it and cry. All my friends, you know, I thought you wasn't gonna do another one, man. But you know what? I'm gonna take that mantra, man. It's worth it, man. That sacrifice, that time, you know, putting in that work, you know, being restrictive, like the gang is next door eating Viva chicken, and you know, I got plain white rice and chicken in the microwave waiting on me, man. But it at the end of the day, it is worth it. And then also, like I said, from my mindset, is I can do this. Like, I am able to do this, you know, whatever. And I feel like that with anything, man, not just, you know, bodybuilding, but anything I really focus on. And my dad always said that, man, you know, even my cousins is like, man, when Dwayne make his mind up, like, it's going to happen. Like, I don't care what else is going on. When he make his mind up, that's what's going to happen, man. So I can definitely attest to that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's normal to have the mindset once you do cross the finish line or get on the other side of that stage. I think it's very normal to say, I ain't ever doing that again. That was terrible, you know?
Right.
Because
right.
Like you're saying, like the restriction aspect and in the focus that you have and the grit and the determination and powering through, having the mm-hmm. resilience and fortitude to power through some of those tough times and overcome mental and physical challenges. Like once you reach that finish line, you're like, okay, I'm good. I got my dose. I got my dose and I'm not going to come back for quite some time, or I'm going to retire. I don't know how many times I've crossed the finish line for a long race, my Ironman being one, say in the first thing out of my mouth, I'm done. I'm retired. I'm not going to do it anymore. But I think that comes from a sense of, yes, I'm proud of myself. My body's in agony. My mind is in agony. But then, you know, it's reflection time.
Yes.
You know, you come off of that stage, a handful of days have passed, the soreness goes away, you start to fill your belly, hopefully with not too many Snickers and Reese's and all those things. you know, you do the reflection piece and you look mm-hmm. back on everything that was good, bad, ugly, and you say, can I do this again? And I think it comes down to mindset. It's like you said, mindset. Everything's mindset, mm-hmm. right? Everything that we do in life is mindset. If I couldn't, that doesn't mean I can't. If I can't, it doesn't mean I won't. Mm-hmm. But you had to first convince yourself that, yes, I can. And you know, putting yourself through all the hardship, yes, I will.
Yeah. You know, Eric has a 48-hour rule where he mm-hmm. says, don't make any decisions in that first 48 hours after your show. He's like, I know what you're feeling. I know what you're thinking. Give it 48 hours. Get yourself together. Reflect, like you mentioned, you know, and come back. You know, even though after my 48, I still said I wasn't going to do it again. It took a little bit longer for me. But you know, I think that goes to show, and it, you know, kind of, you know, accompanies what you mentioned about reflecting and taking that time, because you are in the moment, you know, you still on the high or you on the low if you lost, you know. And I even think about our boy Jamal, which today's his birthday, but when it's go live, it's not his birthday, but happy birthday to Jamal. But you know, when Jamal recently didn't place top three for the Yorton, you know, he was champion 2 years in a row and didn't place top three this year. And he said he had to process it. Like, you know, he's like, I'm human. I need that 48. I need to get my mind together. I need to reflect. And it goes back to our quote, man, the quote about, you know, he recognizes, you know, the path. He's not going to forget about that loss, mm-hmm. but he's not going to hold on to it. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to keep him from training.
Yeah, he actually made a social media post. I think it was on Instagram, and it said something along the lines of it kind of woke him up a little bit. You know, he has that underdog mentality, and I think sometimes we need to be defeated. We need to be brought down to our knees to remind ourselves that, hey, man, nothing's gifted. Nothing's just handed out, man. You got to go out there and earn it. And I am not saying he didn't earn it, because boy, he looked prime time, and I don't know who the judges were, but I think they might have been heavy in the pockets, if you know what I mean.
Listen, man. Listen, right. I'm probably his second biggest fan. You know, Eric probably number one. But I will tell you this: the guy that won was legit. Like, he was legit. Like, he was legit. I saw some. Yeah, of course. That's home. That's home team, man. And honestly, like you mentioned, it did put a little extra grit in them, you know, to work that much harder, and you know, really come out. And it's funny because he actually beat that guy a couple months ago at the presidential, like, and actually Eric told him then, he's like, bro, if you don't come in tight, like, this dude can, he has enough to beat you, but I think it's something that goes with that. And you know, I know, you know, we talk about running a lot, man, but I'm about to take over conversation because even in the men's physique for Mr. Olympia, you know, this year was Ryan Terry, last year was Ryan Terry, but before then it was this guy named Eric Banks. Mm-hmm. Eric Banks came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And everybody, he blew up overnight. And then all of a sudden, he got they got the big hit. And he was, you know, he didn't have the drive. And so losing last year was the wake-up call. Mm-hmm. Losing this year, I think, is going to unleash the underdog. At least I hope so. You know, because...
Man, I think we should all, everybody should have that chip on their shoulder. That's what Tom Brady always called it, the chip on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't get drafted until 199th. I think everybody's got to have a little sliver, a slight sense of, I'm not good enough to be at this stage, but I'm going to work my tail off to make sure that I'm prepared for the biggest stage. Like, Tom Brady, man, like, I will say this 100 times. He was easily the worst athlete that maybe ever played the game. Like, ever. I mean, he was a terrible athlete, but he never was ill prepared. He was always the hardest worker in the room, and he always had that dogfight mentality. Like, I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to fight like a dog.
So here's a question, and you said that, and I'm just thinking out loud. This is we ain't pre-recorded this, y'all. We didn't plan it. This is a real conversation. So did the work ethic kick in and the NFL, and it wasn't there in college? You know what I mean? Like, to be a hard worker, because I think about, you know, I watched Last Dance again, you know, for the 100th time, and, you know, Roy talked about how, you know, Michael Jordan first day was like, man, I'm here to work. I'm out work everybody. And it showed. Like, so with Tom Brady, like, I wonder if he, like, said that somewhere, like, something clicked, or, you know, I was okay with being, like, what is that? Do you know that?
Man, I think it's just I think it's like you're saying it. I think it's sort of like a wake up call. Like, when he went to New England, he walked up to Robert Kraft, the owner, and he said, "I was the 199th pick, but I was the best pick that this organization has ever made." And that was like on day two, and Robert Kraft was like, "Okay, buddy, I have no idea who you even are." They didn't like Robert Kraft didn't even know who he was, and it was his third string quarterback at the time. And so I honestly don't know, you know, I don't know if he had like some sort of entitlement, which I don't think he did, because, you know, even in high school, he was like cut from his JV team, or he was the backup on his JV team, and they went 0-10 or whatever. So I think he's always sort of had that dog in him, but maybe just never shined bright enough to get that chance until he got to the National Football League. There was a story about him being at Michigan, and I think it was Drew Henson. He was the starting quarterback, and Drew Henson would always get Michigan Wolverines behind by a touchdown or two touchdowns or three touchdowns. Brady would come in and save the day, but still never caught that break. But I think that's a testament of who he is, and I think that's a prime example of what you know, being relentless will do for you. Like, if you don't give up, you don't give in. You know, at some point, things are going to pay off. And if they haven't paid off for you yet, well, you only have one option. Keep going.
Right.
You know, you got to be relentless in those moments. Like, too many people get like right to that limit or right to that threshold, and they're about to blow up or they're about to burst. Right. And they take another loss and they're like, this ain't worth it. Mm-hmm. They were one move away. They were one rep or one set away, one day away, one week away from their massive breakthrough. And because they took another loss, or they experienced a little bit more hardship, man, this might not be worth it. It's just not, you know. You know, as we kind of close out 2024, man, I want to use this as sort of a catalyst to talk about 2025. Like, how many people are waiting right now for January 1st? How many people have had that loser's mentality? Billions, probably, right? How many people have that mentality of I'm going to wait until Monday, or I'm going to wait until January 1st? And then on January 1st, well, first and foremost, I always took the first week off at the gym, always, because I was always very consistent in my gym habits and routines. I'd do my 15 minutes on the treadmill, half an hour on a treadmill. Well, guess what? 1-1, you don't get a treadmill. You just don't, because everybody will beat you there on 1-1. But then, you know, you go and do your exercises, and everybody and their brother and sister are there on January 1st. Where are you right now, and why aren't you taking those necessary steps, man? Like, 2025 started yesterday. So we got to let, if you didn't start yesterday, next best time to start right now.
Right now, baby.
Right now.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. So my 1-1 crowd is slim. I go at 3:30. Yeah. So
your crowd's always slim, man.
Always slim.
What time of day?
Yeah. It don't matter what time of day. But we all know each other. But we don't know each other. You know. You come in like, hey, what's up? You know.
Yeah. Dude, I saw this funny Instagram reel. The first day, the guy like looked at the other guy. He walked away. The next day, he's like. And then the third day, they're dapping each other up, giving each other big hugs. That's I can relate with that.
Absolutely. That's that gym relationship, man. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. For sure, man. So, you know, I guess as we continue the tread, man, talking about 2025 and not even just fitness related, even with this podcast, man, like, you know, I'm excited about what's coming for 2025, things and opportunities we may have and some more potential guests and, you know, and we're really excited about that, man. And I, you know, definitely shout out to you guys for checking us out, for hanging with us over 100, man, going into another year, you know. Wow. So I just wanted to take a quick moment and just talk about that, man. We're excited about 2025 and all the things that are coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys. You know, and as this drops, I just want to do a shout out to the Eager to Run Club. You know, that's my baby. We're gonna be doing a little bit of a giveaway towards the end of November. And what's gonna happen is anybody that signed up for any of our events throughout 2024 is gonna be entered into a giveaway. More details to come on that. And if you haven't signed up for our virtual races, our in-person races are done for the year, but our virtual events, Atlanta, all the way up to the virtual turkey trot, go to eagertorun.com. That's where you're going to find everything. You're going to find our swag there. You're going to find our races there. You're going to find our coffee there. Anything that's related to Eager to Run, go to eagertorun.com. And that's with the number 2. And you can even find all of our E2M stuff, our E2M premium, everything, the E2M cookbook, everything that you, anything Eager related is on our website, eagertorun.com. So go check that out. I had to do my shameless plug.
Yes. That's not shameless. This is our podcast.
This is the best podcast. There's no shame in that.
Ain't no shame, baby. Ain't no shame. Good stuff, man. But anything else, B, man? You know, it's a shorter episode. Mm-hmm. Just me and you, no guests. We'll have a couple of these that we drop in from here to there when we don't have guests, or we just want to just chop it up, man. Yeah. So anything else you wanna say on the way out of here?
The only thing that I want to say on the way out of here is let me do the did you know segment.
Okay.
I got a good one, and I'm going to relate it and make it very applicable to the fitness industry, running industry, and life industry.
Let's do it.
Do you know?
All right, Brad, what is your do you know or did you know moment? You wiping the brow. Last time you was this dramatic, you was talking about leaving the school. So I'm nervous. Like, what?
No, this one isn't heartfelt like that. So everybody here knows that my book, Prep, Rep, Repeat, is going to be dropped somewhere around the holidays. It's almost to the final stages. All the edits have been done. All the pictures have been added to the book. The biography on the back. Everything's been done with the Prep, Rep, Repeat book. So that should be dropping soon. Very excited about that. But that's not where I'm going. Okay. All right. So recently, I stepped completely out of my comfort zone. A handful of people that will watch this podcast know that I always wanted to be in a rock band. It was called Velvet Rose, man. I don't sing. I don't play an instrument. I just wanted to wear the tight jeans and wear a headband. I wanted to be like Axl Rose, man. I wanted to be the guy. So fast forward to 2024. I just got done writing my first song. It's a country song about running and fitness and life. And I have already hand delivered it to a country star in Nashville, Tennessee. And he's going to take a look at it, and he's going to put his flavor into it. And I'm going to be featured in the music video. And then it's off to the races, man. And the reason that I bring this up is because a lot of times what we do is we look on Instagram and we see these highlight reels of people. And it's very natural for us to say, I wish I had what he had, or I wish I had what she had. Well, you can have those things, but you got to go out there and take action. You got to make the decision to say, yes, I'll do it, and then go take action. I'm not a country singer. I'm not a rock singer. I have very, very, very little musical IQ, and I'm not musically inclined, but I took myself out of my comfort zone. I stepped away from that CZ is what I call it, the CZ. I took myself away, and I said, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And if I fall flat on my face and this guy doesn't want to sing it, I put it out there. But if it's some great success, I guarantee what's going to happen is somebody will look at that and say, well, you know what? Brad's always getting lucky. I'm not getting lucky. I'm just trying. And if you don't try, you're never going to find that success.
Man, that is a great did you know and a great close at the same time. Good stuff, brother. All right, y'all. We are out of here. Yeah.